Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
Yeah, so, Tony, you need to get back in flag football. Fuck the knee.
You're trying to bring me out of retirement?
Shoddy. I'm trying to bring you out.
Trying to bring me out of retirement.
Hell yeah. Dust off those cleats.
Man, yeah. You and a couple other guys are trying to get me out. Maybe. I got the doors not completely slammed. But
man, we can.
I got to strengthen that knee.
We can recruit Slim here as a wide receiver.
That's true, as long as I don't have to hit anybody, all right?
It's flag, man. It's fucking flag football.
Because I don't want to get hurt. I actually used to, when I played baseball when I was younger, I liked it. I was actually decent at it. I was probably better at baseball than I was at basketball. Yeah. But I fucking hated the fact that people had to pitch the ball to you. And like kids get wild sometimes. And it just, I never stayed in the box. Yeah. And I was always like swinging out, you know. Yeah. And
Shadu, what league are you talking about? There's a couple different leagues out there.
Because
there's Underdog, and then there's Comeback Sports, Comeback Seattle.
No, I heard of this league called BFFL. It's really competitive and intense. The Black Flag Football League.
The Black Flag Football League. Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
It's like a fucking shootout, literally. Oh,
man. Right to the end. Yeah. Right at the end.
I bet they have no athletes. No, but there's no action in those games.
Well, no. I mean, it's 7-on-7. Yeah.
Probably not.
It's 7-on-7. You got a running back, five receivers, and one white guy, and he's the quarterback. That's what you need for a... That's what you need for a good flag football team.
Well, Tony can fill that quarterback spot. Yeah. That's damn sure.
Bringing back nightmares for me right now.
Tony's
flashback nightmares. I went down like RG3 over there in Juanita High School.
Tony's the type of guy.
Random Wednesday night. It was brutal. It's brutal. It's a sad night.
That is like the worst.
I've never had any major injury before. No, I do it when I was 27 years old.
You were probably due, to be honest, man.
I've been in the game, and you've been a multiple sport athlete. I separated the shoulder mine and my junior. Like, that's the worst. A couple minor concussions here and there, but
yeah, that's not dead.
Nothing. Yeah, ACL was brutal
at Juanita. That is like the worst school. Juanita, even in the district,
crumpled to the ground.
Even in the district, for it to happen.
I was throwing a trap. Yeah, it's brutal.
The trap.
Our boy Trav.
RG3, God. That is one image that I will never get out of my head, is RG3's
knee. He crumbled
knee
to the ground. I looked exactly
buckling.
Like that. I swear to God.
Just like a wobbly, like it was two pieces of wood.
I stood up. I didn't hurt. It didn't hurt at all. I stood up and I was like, oh man, what was that? And I was walking. I was fine. And then we're in the 1 yard line. And I was like, I think I got one more play in me. I didn't, because I don't know what, I never torn ACL. I don't know what that feels like.
Yeah.
Was in shotgun, took it. As soon as I looked to Trav, I was going to throw a little post right at the goal line. I just planted on it, and it just fell face first. Like, it just felt like my knee just gave.
Dang.
Complete give.
Yeah, that's fucking
it. Yeah, it's nuts. It didn't hurt that bad, though. It just felt like I didn't have a knee.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's rough, dude. That's rough. Well, you know what? Before we get too deep down the rabbit hole here, we might as well get this thing officially popped off. What's happening, everybody? Thank you for listening to us. Another episode of Earful in the Emerald City. You guys, thanks for joining us right now. We appreciate you guys having here. You new listeners, thanks for giving us a shot, guys. You know, hopefully we're not going to blow it here. We actually planned a good one for you today. We got a good one lined up. Back by popular demand, all right?
I don't know about popular demand.
You guys are crazy enough to bring me back. You guys are so freaking crazy.
The people demanded it, Tony.
I'm sure they did.
All right, and we give the people what they want, all right? We're like Bernie Sanders. Whatever they want.
The burn over here.
We get it. We give it to them. So we got Tony Gardner back on the show to join us again. The guru himself.
I appreciate it, ma'am.
The sports, the local sports legend, you know? Listen, he's
blushing over here.
And he's humble. And he's humble, too. So that was part of his success.
You gotta be, man. People don't like assholes, right?
Well, no, Cam Newton. That worked out well for him.
What's wrong with being nice?
Oh, dude. I said it once and I'll say it again. Cam Newton, I'm envious of that guy.
Yeah.
Just for the fact of how much pleasure his pain can bring to everybody else.
Hey, you see that guy's fashion sense, by the way. Just a side. Him wearing these rabbit tails. And then I don't know if you guys saw the hat he was wearing at the Lakers game a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
did you
my see that hat? God.
What was he wearing?
It was that hat Pharrell's wearing now. It's like Smokey the Bear.
No, but I think I think he went one size bigger than Pharrell.
Pissed if I was sitting behind him in that game. Those courtside seats in a Lakers game aren't cheap, I'm sure.
But oh my god, fuck no, dude.
LeBron came over and gave him some dab. Like I gotta say, he's grown on me though. As a, I know he's got quite an act. And the even crazier thing, you know what he named his son, by the way?
Oh, we talked about this last time.
Sean, you know this? What he named his son?
What it?
Chosen.
The Chosen One.
Chosen Newton, man.
Chosen. It sounds like Fig Newton almost, like a cookie.
It does sound like some kind of snack food made by Nabisco.
I think Fig Newton when I hear Chosen Newton.
Oh, my God. This is where the sponsorship dollars are going right here. See, Tony, we talked about this earlier.
We were talking about that earlier. I know he does the yogurt.
It's blowing up. It's blowing up.
Yeah, I haven't seen much Cam since Super Bowl, though, except the giant ass hat. Think of that Chris Rock line in his song, "Take off that silly ass hat." I thought of that line immediately.
Hey, he did grow up in College Park in the hood in Georgia, so he's around. He grew up around all those ghetto ass black names: Shaniqua, Timona, Ramona,
Pookie,
Rashad,
Kanisha, Rashad. Hey, you got to get creative, you know? You can only have so many Johns.
All these African Arabic.
Yeah. That's where it all started, man.
Yeah. Swahili.
Yeah. God damn. All right.
It's a crazy name. I mean, Kanye, Kim, they went that route. Oh, North. My
God. Northwest.
Dude, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a joke, man. It's a fucking joke.
It is.
Speaking of the whole family thing, Tony, I want to get into
we're going to jump right in.
We're going to go into it. I'm attacking you right off the bat here. No, you're some big news with you. You and your lady are expecting now.
Yes, it's crazy. Yeah,
congratulations.
I appreciate that. Hasn't even hit me even close.
Like, yeah, you're still early. It's still pretty fresh.
She's growing a little bit. So yeah, but I will say this: we have not even come close to finding the name. It's a girl. We're excited, and we'll talk. We were talking about that earlier, so we're fired up about that. But you're throwing out some of these names, man. It's a crazy balance. Like Laura, she's real traditional, so she kind of wants more of the traditional route. I don't want something super crazy. I like something a little different, you know, but
a little style.
It's got a role, you know, but I'm chosen. But some of those names, we played an April Fool's prank on my mom. We went out to dinner and we said, "Hey, mom, we got a name. We finally figured out the name." My mom is obviously, I'm the only child. She's invested. She's Mexican too. So she's, as in a Mexican
she's
mother,
all in here.
She's Hispanic, Latina. She is fired up and she's been, I'm the only child. So as you can imagine, but we were at the Rock and having dinner, and we told her, "Hey, we got the name. We're going to name her Monique." And she just looked at us and goes, "Oh, all right." And I couldn't hold it. We busting out laughing. It's just like, I know, probably not going to name her Monique.
Could you tell she was cringing inside?
She was. We got her for a quick second. I mean, she's a big April Fool. That's her thing. Okay. She gets me every year. So we tried to get her, but yeah, she could have saw the look on her face. But no, we're excited, you know, when end of August, so yeah
that's fucking awesome, man.
We'll see.
That's a good use of the April Fools, you know. That's not too malicious.
Yeah,
but you're still having some fun. All right, you're still fucking with somebody. Come on, I mean, that's a free invitation there.
Did you guys get any business on April Fools this year?
What do you mean?
Did anyone April Fool you?
Oh, no. Actually, nobody did. No one even gave it a shot. It's kind of disappointing, you know. No. You almost want somebody to try to pull one over on you.
No one tried going after me. Worst April Fool's joke that you ever pulled on someone or someone has ever pulled on you?
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'll start off.
Yeah, you started.
Seventh grade, three girls came up to me. Three of the hottest girls in school came up to my black ass and said, "Hey, Rashad, would you like to go out with us all at the same time?" And I was a little lanky, tall.
Is that not surprising to you?
Yeah. And I was like, "Yeah." And then they said April Fools. So
they didn't even pull you along for a while, you know, fuck with you? Really tear you up?
Yeah.
Oh, geez, that's pretty soft. It wasn't really, I wouldn't call it an April Fools, but my worst ever was probably, it was on April Fool's. I remember, that's why I remember the date. And I let a stink bomb off on the bus. And oh my God, dude, that thing was fucking devastating. Hey,
those stink bombs back in the day were no joke. Absolutely no joke. They gotta be illegal next. You can buy the, you could buy them at the dollar store, the little glass vials, those, you know, yellow. And
oh, the one I got,
oh my God,
those is illegal in 32 countries.
They have to be.
All right, illegal in 32 countries.
It's unreal. It's just rotten egg.
There was there was kids hanging their fucking face out of the bus. They couldn't breathe. They couldn't breathe. All right, they needed fresh oxygen.
The bus fucking stinks. The bus
was
already
a riot. It was a fucking riot. I think I thought it was going to get turned over. All right, it was worse than the streets of Baltimore. God, it was. And then I ended up getting the.
Do you have any more?
No, and then I ended up getting the cops called. It was so serious. Like, it ended up being such a big deal. Like, I shouldn't have got caught, but I wasn't quite smooth enough back then, you know. I'm a lot more conniving these days. I've learned a lot. but my mom had the fucking cops show up at the house just to scare me. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I gotta deal with fucking cops because I let a stink bomb off? Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable. No, those things were nuclear. I mean, absolutely. I think at Skyview there, when we were at Jared local junior high there, I remember a couple times some of those went off in all school assemblies, and that would just wipe out the whole gym.
Teachers were
pissed, as they should have been. But yeah, I remember. I think my dad has one. I remember we bought a couple at the dollar store. My dad has one locked away. He said he's going to save it one time. He knows the moment. I don't know how long they last, how long if you can just preserve those things, but they're lethal. What a great, that's a great prank.
Dude, it's the closest thing above the counter you can buy to chemical weapons.
Word of God, seriously.
It's banned by the UN.
Where do you buy those?
You go to
there was a dollar store back in the
day. Dollar store, Spencer's.
Man,
Spencer's.
No.
Spencer's.
Anything, I was the victim.
Anything fuckery you can get at Spencer's.
I've not been into Spencer's in a long, long time.
I've been the victim of some of those. Not on the. Oh my God. God, you're a fucking dick sling. You let one off on the. Because a bus fucking stinks already. You know, it runs off of diesel. There's no air conditioning. And you're around a bunch of. Stinky, sweaty ass kids who've been inside all day, and then they're at recess, and you let up a fucking stink bomb on a bus. You're an asshole,
dude. It was catastrophic, man. Okay, there was fat kids hanging half their body out the window. I've never seen them move that quick. It was devastating. Like I said, a tight area.
You could even do it outside in the radius.
And if they're walking close,
within a block, I swear you could smell that. But the manufacturers with those, I don't know if they're still in business anymore. But man.
Is that the worst prank you've ever pulled off?
Oh man, no, definitely not the worst. The worst whatever would have to be, I don't even know if you can consider this a prank, is just us being fucked up kids, dude, and just doing stupid shit. Our neighbor kid, we got him. We convinced him to ride his bike in front of the house, and we got on the roof of our house. We had a little Rambler, and we were on the roof, and we were setting up, and we were shooting him with a BB gun as he was riding down the street. And he was fine with it. Like he completely said, you know, he didn't even have a fucking helmet on, no glasses or anything. And we ended up doing it, and we fucking blast him. First shot taken hits him. He goes, he starts crying. Goes home to his dad. His fucking dad is a convicted felon. Okay, this guy's a psychopath. I've been at his house before and seen him. Mix. They have a Rottweiler puppy. Seen the guy fucking boot the dog right in the middle of dinner. Just boom. Who even knows what the dog was doing? So, guy's a loose cannon. All right.
Yeah.
100%. It's me, my brother, and his buddy, and we end up. Oh, he goes home. So we're like, fuck. Me and my brother's friend. Our family friend, we took off, dude. We climbed the closest tree and just posted up and chilled. My brother actually was the only one that fucking went and took it in front of it. We could see from the tree our neighbor's house because everybody's houses are so low. The guy comes out the door. What the fuck, Sean? Fucking screams it so the whole neighborhood can hear him. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally thought that there's a chance that he might get killed, you know, he might get, and we're in a fucking tree watching this whole thing happen, dude. I was like, oh my God. And my brother just took it and he just sat and yelled at him in his face and then it was over. And
crazy.
But he fucking, how ridiculous though. Kids, you think you can shoot somebody with a BB gun? Oh yeah, it's cool. He's like wearing a helmet. Nothing. I mean, we're fucking idiots, but God, what about you, Tony? What
God,
you,
man, you're not going to get anything crazy. I'm a fucking... I'm
you
not,
Skyview guys I'm didn't not get
a,
into
I'm
it?
Not a daredevil guy, man. No, I mean, but you, I was the king of ding-dong ditching back
in the day.
He was a
quarterback. Of course he didn't
I was
shit.
King of ding-dong ditching back in the day. I could claim my make my claim there, but I don't know. One time in high school, in our boy Slim here, he's... Scotty's not going to know some of these guys, but I went. We all know some of these just crazy Mormons. Mm-hmm. I went to school. Bart Ward, a buddy of ours, he was just a crazy, crazy Mormon. He was the house that we just always hung out in high school with.
Yeah.
And we had another buddy named Scott LaBrash, who is been a friend of ours, and we were all on the football team. And we faked a break-in one night. It was just us. The parents were gone. And we staged it so real. I mean, I couldn't even tell you. We went all out. Me and Bart was just always on these crazy tangent ideas. Uh-huh. So it was like 3 in the morning. We put Matt, I mean, we did the whole nine. And we got him up on a cold sleep thinking that people were breaking into the house. And he almost killed us. Like, oh my he was in God. So, I mean, that, you know, so that was one of the things that. I know that's not even that exciting, but I'm just not a prankster. I guess that's you're asking the wrong guy.
You always had something to lose, Tony. You're smarter than that.
Yeah, right.
You had something to lose, man. Exactly. You were working towards something, exactly, you're just fucking smarter than that. Oh God, dude, so much mischief back in the day. But
yeah. Worst prank I ever did. I was 16 years old. I was spending the night at a friend's house. Me and another buddy were actually spending the night. We were going around the neighborhood, ding dong ditching. That's not the prank though. We met up with 3 other guys that we went to high school with, and there's this kid who was a year younger than us who we didn't like, and we heard that his garage had a refrigerator in it, and it was loaded with wine, beer, alcohol, and a bunch of shit. By the way, let me note that it was around 2 o'clock in the morning, and one of our buddies knew the garage code, so he told we texted him, hey, what's the garage code to this kid's house? He texts it, so we head to that kid's house, and like it's 2 o'clock in the morning, so we're on our, you know, we use our cell phones as our lights to put in the garage code. Garage door opens up. We fucking haul ass. Yeah. We fucking haul ass to the end of the street. And then we wait for like 30 seconds, 30, 45 seconds. We come back and see if anyone came. No one comes. I guess they're dead asleep or no one was there. We go in the garage and we raid the fucking fridge. We raid it. We got a 6-pack of Budweiser. We got 2 bottles of wine. So,
how old were you guys?
16.
Oh shit, that's a good score back then. Damn.
Yeah. What do the kids do these days though? Because we're talking about ding dong ditching. I feel like the kids don't even do that. That's not even cool anymore.
But anyway, cool
anymore. FaceTime somebody.
Anyway, we put the code back in, we close it, and then we head to the park in the neighborhood, and we got drunk.
There you go.
Damn.
So, yeah, nice. I was the only black guy. I don't want anyone to think that. I was around a bunch of black. No, white kids. White kids did this shit. White kids went in and stole the shit. Not the black. It wasn't my idea.
Oh, I'm sure you enjoyed some of those fucking Bud Lights. Come on. Give me a break.
Actually, I was hoping to see some 40s in there, so. But
yeah. Oh, God. This
some 40s and Heineken.
Some of that malt liquor.
See, me and this guy, we went to 2 different junior highs. Me and this guy. The Skyview, I was on the preppy Skyview side.
Yeah.
And then Canyon Park side. They, see, they were the bad boys over there. They were the bad boys.
Don't fuck around.
They were the
man.
Troublemakers. Yep. The Skyview, we were the preppies over there, but we blended well over at our high school at Bothell. But now Bothell's like quadrupled in size.
I know. It's crazy. And they got that new.
It's crazy.
They got the new high school coming
North
in,
Creek
too.
High school. Yeah, brother, it's like Bottle High School number 2. It's crazy.
Yeah, basically. And it'll be full too soon, dude. It's
4A, yeah.
It's all these fucking houses they're putting up everywhere, man.
It's wild.
Everywhere.
Oh, man, it's wild. You can't even drive. Filbert, man. I live by Filbert, man. It's a joke trying to get out of my own neighborhood now. Any time of the day and Bothell Everett Highway, it's brutal.
Yeah. You need the fucking infrastructure, dude. Yeah. You need the infrastructure, and they never keep up with it. And you're going to be too behind.
Well, it was tough. I mean, because we found a house, because we were house shopping after we got married. We've been in our house now a year and a half. But some of these new houses, we were living in Kirkland at the time, trying to come back to Bothell.
Mm-hmm.
These houses are an inch away from each other. I mean, I could be taking a shower, and I could roll the window down and knock on the other window.
And just no character.
None whatsoever. There's no part. There's no driveway. I mean,
nothing it's unique.
Nothing. They're just cookie cutter houses. Down the line. It's unbelievable. But
listen, hey, coming back to family to be here.
Yes.
What's more terrifying to you? Not getting any sleep, or not getting any private time with the lady?
Oh man, you know it's gonna be.
What's more terrifying?
Here's the deal. I'm a deep sleeper. Like, Laura, it's funny. She's a light sleeper. She always says she's on neighborhood watch. She's always worried if someone breaks into our damn house.
She's good like that.
If someone breaks into the damn house, she's worried I am not going to wake up. And there's chances are I'm not going to wake up. When I'm out, Berg, I'm out, man. That's just kind of how I'm a little bit of a night owl. So, yeah. Hit the hay around 11 or so. And then for me, yeah, I'm out when I'm out. And I never wake up hardly ever. But we were having this talk, though, now that I'm 30. Starting to wake up, I'm starting to wake up a little earlier now. I can't sleep in like I used to. I'm a guy that cherishes my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I need it. I am not a morning guy. No. You can ask Laura that. I am definitely not a morning guy. Never have been, but I wish because it's one of those deals where if I could be a morning guy, I would get one of those guys to be a morning workout guy. I can't do that. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work for me.
My
brain is not working. Like I'm sitting there just like a zombie. It's brutal, but at the same time, I hate it because I can't go to my own gym after work because that place is packed beyond belief.
It's terrible,
at Gold's
dude.
Gym. It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
I made it up this morning, and you're right, dude. It's so hard because you know in the back of your head you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to the gym and do that.
Yep.
But you're right. Sometimes your schedule, the way your day's wedged, there's just not quite enough time afterwards.
I work with a lot of people, in the sales world, though, that they're all about morning workouts. And if I could, I would. Like, it's nice to get it out of the way and then get home.
Well, and the beauty of
family
it,
stuff.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is, like, you go to work and you're like, dude, this is all a bonus now.
Yep.
I already went to the fucking gym. I killed it for an hour.
Yep.
I mean, this is all a bonus now. I'm just getting paid. So this is a cherry on top.
Well, it's crazy. We're living in a world now. Everyone's wearing Fitbits on their hands, tracking my phone. I got the new Samsung. It's tracking my steps. If I don't hit 6,000 steps, it's vibrating in my pants all day long, telling me to get up and get moving.
Get off your ass, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, my phone all the time. I'll go to the gym for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Bust my ass. I'll be coming home. I'll be walking home from the gym, and I'll look at my phone. It'll have a notification. It'll say, be more active, 90% there. I'm like, fuck you. How dare you, phone? Tell me to be more active. I was just in the gym for an hour, all right?
Let me ask you this.
Jesus Christ, what do you want from me?
I don't know what gym you go to. I go to Gold's Gym over there. I'm Boston Leopard there. And I feel like 85% of the people there are there just talking and bullshitting. Just BSing.
Just
like
to say they showed up.
Yeah. Like I just, if I'm a guy, I got to go to the gym. I want to work out. I'm not there to BS and talk and shoot the shit down there. I'm there to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Get in, get out.
That's
just like, I'm like shopping. Like that's how I shop. I'm in and out, get in, get out.
That's where the partner can kind of, it can be a hindrance too if you're not careful with it. If it's just somebody to chat with.
Absolutely.
But what about you? I mean, do you just like doing it on your own, or you prefer somebody there kind of motivate you?
I prefer a partner because I feel like your rest times are a whole lot shorter. When I work out by myself, my rest times between sets or between exercises, you know, I try to have my rest times at like 30 seconds, but there's sometimes I bullshit and they're like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like Tony over here. I want to be out within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to be out within an hour.
Yeah.
I don't do sports anymore. So I don't stay in there for 2-3 hours like I did back in the day.
That's stupid.
You know? Yeah. I just, do like 4 or 5 kind of lifts and try to get out of there within an hour. But if I have someone to work out there with, I know that my rest times can decrease and I can get out within that hour. But
question for you guys, and you can be blatantly honest with me. You ready for this? We were talking pre-show about this, about turning 30. Shoddy, good luck. You got a couple years, I know. There's a lot of things when you turn 30, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. And some of the workout, like we've been talking about, trying to see how our bodies are changing, trying to get, stay in better shape. I have to admit, is it official that I've turned 30 now that I've turned a couple times to an at-home workout? I'm doing this thing. You guys heard of T25?
Uh-huh.
I've been doing some T25. T25 DVD. It's a 25-minute just cardio deal.
I've heard of JL196.
I was going to say, it's like a P90X. It's not CrossFit. It's none of these deals. But
when I'm bigger, more,
too wiped to go to the gym, which is more often than not these days, I figure I could get a T25. I know Shotty's looking at me. It's
25 seems reasonable,
it's
actually.
It's 25 minutes. That seems reasonable. Sean T. He's the man. Uh-huh. Sean, I don't know if you guys heard of this dude, but I've always, because I think I see these workouts on TV. I'm not even going to lie to you. It was a drunk decision one night, late night. I was earlier before New Year's. I was like, man, let's do this. He got me. I don't think I've ever been got by an infomercial before. Uh-huh. And I got by this Sean T guy. And I'm not going to, I like the workouts. I've been losing weight. It's been great. Uh-huh. But I don't, it goes back to, we were talking to these CrossFitters about people posting and letting you know I'm working out.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, God, I know.
I hate to bring it up.
I know.
Just a little bit. I every once in a while, no big deal.
Yeah.
But the people that are every day, other day, letting you know, that tells me everything I need to know.
Yeah. Well, the thing is they're doing it for themselves. They're not doing it for everybody else. It's that own pat on the back a little bit, and it's like, it's like, just do it, okay? Yeah. Just do it. You don't need to milk seven likes out of it, okay? Just fucking do it. Just show up and get it done and fucking do it, okay? And like I said, you were talking earlier, workouts. I went earlier today, and dude, you get that shit done, and you're energized. You get to work, and you're energized, and you took that shower at the gym. You know, you got a quick one in, and you're fucking ready to go, man. You're probably more productive.
Here's a quote. It's a perfect, and I'm obsessed with The Rock. He's my guy. Like, I know WrestleMania. It was just reason he came
he's
back.
Fucking Shotty, cut
I know you're
his shit,
a wrestling
dude.
Fan.
Guy is gigantic now.
I'm not into wrestling these days, but I grew up in junior high obsessing when The Rock was the man. Like The Rock is like one of my idols, no doubt. But he's got a quote, Berg, and he stole it from Walter Payton. And the quote is, "When you're good," I can't remember. I think it's, "When you're good, you tell people. When you're great, they tell you."
Yeah,
and that quote is a great staple to live by, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because like you said, if you're going to be working out and everything, people are going to notice. You're going to notice your clothes are fitting better and everything like that.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. Everyone works differently. I know some people need motivation. Some people need a little extra push. But you don't got any CrossFitters don't need to tell me what the WOD is, the workout of the day. I don't give a fuck. I don't,
dude.
And no one else does either.
Half the workouts I see CrossFitters doing, they look like Neanderthals while they're doing it.
I bet it though. I know it works.
They
it's
look
effective.
Like
it's
a de-evolved species.
You don't need to talk about
they're
it.
They're throwing a rock or medicine ball at a wall, picking it up, throwing it. It's like what is this? I mean, do we have to be humiliated while we're working out? Why can't I just get toned?
It reminds me
and
of
not
fight.
Feel like a piece
it
of shit.
It reminds me of Fight Club. Like the rule of Fight Club is don't talk about Fight Club. Mm-hmm. I feel like CrossFitters. It's the one rule. Always talk about CrossFit. Like, I feel like
it's exact opposite.
I feel like it is. I think it goes parallels.
And it's just like the you know the fascism of it. They're like, oh, it's better. It's better. It's better. You three times as many burn calories per 12-second intervals. Heart rate over. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here. I mean, just whatever works for everybody works.
Yeah.
And what you like to do is what you do. Just do something. That's all you got to do.
What's the matter, Slim? You don't like flipping the tire and shit?
It's fucking ridiculous.
Crazy thing is, you know what the key is? We're talking about all these workouts. I wish I was just a millionaire so I could have my own chef to make you. It's all about these meals, like the meal prep and all that.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I don't have the time of the day
to
set aside to go and prep these meals. And don't worry, I see it all the time from people on Facebook that are telling me how they're eating. So that's how I know. I'm not wired like that. Like that. But
it is,
that's half the battle. Like, that's
it
sucks.
It definitely
you
is.
You can have these people CrossFitting every day long and going to McDonald's every night and drinking every night and oh man, why is it not working, man? Why is it not working?
I think if you stuck to a healthy diet and were disciplined and stayed on top of that shit, I don't even think you need to work out to maintain a good physique. I don't even think you really need to. I mean, you might not be that toned, but you're going to be at a healthy weight.
What sucks is, like we were talking about getting 30, it's not only the workouts that are getting harder and the body's breaking down. The hangovers are what are absolutely just devastating, Shotty. Like, I'm talking, I can hang. Hey, I went to college. I did all. I feel like I can hang Like, let's talk about a normal weekend, Friday, Saturday night. Me and Laura, my wife, we always talk about the Friday night tired, end of the week tired. It's real. Like, if we have no plans throughout the week for Friday night, you're going to find us watching Netflix, done. You know, we're donezo.
Yeah.
Saturday night's night to howl. But now that I'm 30, I go back. I can go as hard as you want for one night, no problemo. I can hang. Night two, if I go back-to-back nights, like a Friday, Saturday night nowadays, I am done all day Sunday, and it leaks into Monday.
Yeah.
It leaks like halfway into Monday, and I'm just like...
leeches into it.
It's brutal. So good luck. 28, you said, Shoddy?
He still does.
Good
still
luck.
Does
you got 2 years. And I was good up until 30. It was literally 30th birthday. We celebrated birthday. We played some cards. We went out. Yeah. And then the next, I was just like, oh, my God. What happened? What happened?
Well, here's the thing. If you work out and if you're in shape and then you want to go out to the bar or stay home and drink and get fucked up, you have a higher tolerance of getting drunk, and your chances of getting a hangover will decrease. So, I mean, as long as you're working out fine, then, I mean, you should be good. For me, it takes a lot. And, I mean, it takes a lot for me to get...
This guy's a tank.
You're a pro?
Yeah. I mean, fuck, man. I grew
what's
up in
your,
Texas.
What's your magic number? Like, what's your magic drink number? Like, that? What's, like...
Oh, God.
You know, everyone's got a magic number.
I can probably polish...
It's always moving a little bit, but...
Of course.
I can probably polish an 18-pack by myself.
And you're good?
Yes.
Whew.
That's serious.
I'd be on my face.
A lot of silver bullets.
I'd be on my face.
I grew up in small...
be on my face.
I grew up in small town fucking Texas around a bunch of corn-fed white boys. Yeah. So I had to hang with those guys.
Let me ask you this. Has your drink of choice changed in the last like 4 or 5 years?
Yes.
What were you drinking back in Texas?
Light beers. I've gone on to pale ales and the dark beers.
Is everything really bigger in Texas? Side note... Side note.
While we're on it.
I love Texans. Don't get me wrong. I really do. Like, I love...
I don't miss Texas. But no. I
wish I played football in Texas, in high school football.
Oh, you would have got fucking smothered.
Well, yeah, there are like 10A schools out there. Yeah. We were 4A out here. But
well, there's just so many people in Texas,
and those stadiums hold like 40,000 people, 50,000 people. High school games.
My last home game in Texas, it was the Texas State... The State of Texas game of the week, and we're up against Westlake in Austin, and guess who the quarterback was?
Who?
Nick Foles. And
oh, heard of him?
Yeah, I think we talked about this last time.
Yeah, the stadium for that game packed 10,000 people. But there's there's some stadiums in the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area that can hold 40,000. I think Allen High School can.
Big time over there. It's big time.
And South Lake Carroll, I don't know if they still are, but back in the day, they were consistently nationally ranked. And this, I swear to God, this program had an indoor practice facility.
Yeah, I believe it.
Their stadium can hold about 30,000 people. An indoor facility. Indoor practice facility.
Well, I'm going to circle you back because I got you off topic. So where does that drink change from Texas to here now? You're talking your magic number back to us going to the third route.
I went from drinking Coors Light, Michelob Ultra, Bud Light to Manny's Pale Ale, yep. Fremont, yeah. Rainier. Because I remember when I went to my first bar here in Washington, and I ordered a Coors Light, and everyone at the table just fucking looked at me.
you're in craft country, my friend. Yeah. Craft beer country.
Exactly. We don't fuck around.
No kidding.
And my girlfriend's like, get him something dark. And
It is, dude. It's
Coors Light's like water to me. I'm an IPA guy all day long. But I wasn't in college. Like, in college, it was like liquor or anything we can get, you know, anything. But
I do miss the days of like
IPAs.
I do miss the days of like camping and just crushing beers all day long. You know, a whole day, and you maybe you end up drinking like 20 beers. You don't even realize it because it's been over like an 8 or 9 hour period.
Oh yeah, well, summertime. I mean, that goes down like water. I mean, that's just like
that's true. It goes through you quick.
Choice of beer when you're camping, because you got to keep it cheap. When I camp, I keep it cheap. So choice of beer when you camp.
Gosh, man, I mean, the last couple of years that I've been camping, it's been IPAs. I mean, it's it's been. I feel like for me, it's I go to the Coors Lights and all that in the summertime. Yeah. You know, for me, if it's golfing or anything like that, it's more the light beer. But I'm still a whiskey guy though too. I've grown. I love whiskey.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of my choice. But I think I got vodka and all that tequila. All that was college, man. I can't even take a shot these days anymore, man.
It's hard, yeah.
That's brutal for me.
It's not easy.
It's brutal. Yeah. I mean, I'll do it, but it's brutal.
Give me a chase. I'll do it, you know, especially if somebody else is buying it. Yeah.
Slim over here.
Yours. You know, I haven't had it for a little while, but I'd say for my lifetime span, it would probably have to be Keystone Light.
Yeah.
Yes!
Just the key, man.
When I'm camping, I love either shotgunning beers or doing a beer bong.
Remember one or the other. Keystone.
Keystone.
Like a couple years ago.
Oh, dude, they sold me. They got me, Tony.
Keystone.
They pulled me in. God damn it! That just like
brilliant.
That.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, he was good.
Remember the orange?
That was the start of before Dos Equis, man. Dos Equis guy. Yeah. That they probably got that from.
Yeah, he was a goddamn pioneer.
I heard they sent him to space. He's gone now. Oh. I heard that. Did you hear that? I read that.
He's going to Mars.
They're done with him. No, they said they're moving to some younger Dos Equis guy now for their campaign. Yeah, and I saw a commercial like a couple weeks ago.
That guy
he's waving off, and they send him in a fucking shuttle.
In a rocket.
And he's like, adios.
That guy got old quick, dude. He got old quick.
They sent him out of the planet. He's gone.
I mean, you think about, if you're going to be the most interesting man in the world, that takes a lot out of you.
He's out.
That takes a lot out of you.
So they're bringing in some younger dude.
No, what I heard that... I heard that when he heard that Donald Trump may be president, he's like, see ya. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, he's probably like half Latino.
You know it.
He's half Colombian.
No, I'm a Keystone Light guy when it comes to camping.
Yeah.
Shit's cheap. It gets the job done.
And it's just good to crush them. Yeah, you just...
There is a steakhouse, and it's a little chain steakhouse in Texas called Texas Roadhouse. And they have Keystone Light on fucking tap.
Jeez.
Nice. How much are they charging? 75 cents a pint.
Jesus. That's damn. I had a buddy of mine, a roommate in college. He was an old lineman. He drank Milwaukee's Best Ice. That's like, I feel like Keystone is a cousin of Milwaukee's Best Ice. Like, they're in the same family tree.
I think the only thing the ice does is guarantee that you will have a hangover the next day.
And this dude, Chris, that's all that ice does. Chris Corey, he was like 6'5", 275. He would finish finals, and I'd watch him drink. He had the same ritual. He would kill a 30 bomb, play video games, chew in, and order a hot and ready pizza after these finals. That was his routine. And he could handle it, no problem. No problem at all.
So many tasks, yet none of them are true accomplishments. Of any nature.
No, I mean, he's definitely multitasking there on those. But yeah.
Three pointless things.
Those beers, man. Ooh, yeah. But it's rough, though, man. Because, like, man, like, we were talking about going the healthy route and everything. These IPAs, man, it's like 900 calories a beer, man.
Yeah,
it's like a meal.
You can't. Yeah, you can't have six or seven. You can't do that.
They're butt kickers, man. When you're drinking 7.5, 8.5 percenters, I mean, that's like two beers in one. I mean, so it's...
Yeah, so I'm wondering, is that less calories, do you think?
See, we go back to the magic number. My magic number is like four, and four is like my, for an IPA, I am like feeling great, feeling good. Yeah. Anything beyond
you got to break off from it.
Anything beyond that depends on what I've eaten that day.
Yeah.
An empty stomach, good dry, good night. But that's kind of the magic number.
Yeah, fucking Leonard, dude, that guy will just drink IPAs all night.
Leonard time?
He never switches over. He'll go the whole night drinking IPAs. I'm like, dude, you're going to be on the floor here in a minute.
He's a legend. Lenny time all the time, man.
I mean, I'm like you. It's like you get a couple to get you going, and then you get that buzz ignited, and then you just kind of maintain after that.
Me and that guy, we were in a little golf. We do little golf tournaments together, and our group name, just to mess with people, were the Putt Buddies. And they announced us. We won a tournament a couple weeks back, and they announced us, and all these old school guys at golf was like, what the hell?
Bunch of conservatives.
We're jokers, and the Putt Buddies. Yeah, we're good at putting, man. You drive for show, you putt for dough.
There's this flag football team.
That's how it goes.
There's
where you make your money.
Yep. There's this flag football team at my college for intramurals, and they suck so bad, and their team's name was Off in the Woods.
See, it's all about team names.
Hey, who'd you beat? So who did you beat? We beat Off in the Woods.
Oh, shit. I'm not that creative. Like, it sucks. Like, I'm not a big fantasy football guy and all that, but I've done a couple work leagues, and it's all about the name. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's the only name I've been the last couple years, same name, Ron Mexico. From my boy, I loved Michael Vick, and there's a story, I don't know if you guys, you have to know the story. When he was in Mexico, when he's on the Falcons, when he was in his baller days, pre-jail Mike Vick and Killed Dogs Mike Vick.
Yeah.
He went to Mexico, apparently got an STD.
Oh, boy.
Went to the local hospital, and instead of giving him the name Michael Vick, obviously, he went by the alias Ron Mexico. I thought that was one of the most brilliant things. He gave the name Ron Mexico. I've kept the name, and that's been my fantasy football name. Hasn't brought me any championships whatsoever. Okay. Like anybody gives a shit.
Nice. Not bad, though.
If I need a quick fake name, I go to that. Mexico.
That'd be like somebody named John United States.
Right, John USA, man. Yeah, that's true. He's a cool dude.
That's true.
He's American.
Ron fucking next. Goddamn, Vic. Let's not even go down that road.
I'm an animal lover. So there was tough because it was brutal. He's like my favorite player. Like, he was one of my favorite players football growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, I was when we were in high school, and I idolized him because I was a shorter quarterback. So I'd scramble, have to throw on the run, and he obviously made it look so damn easy. Fun to watch, but tough seeing him. Father fucking time, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy now at our age seeing Peyton and Kobe. All these guys hanging it up, it's kind of wild.
Yeah,
because I hate it.
We knew what was going on when these guys got started.
All these guys,
when they got started, we knew what was up.
They're getting older, man, and you just can't do it. I don't know how. There's not enough HGH out there.
How many more majors think Tiger gets?
Zero.
You know, he's gonna get
you're asking the wrong guy. Tiger's the reason why I'm obsessed with golf. Like he's seeing him, like, that was crazy. Seeing that whole, you know, obviously that messed him up completely top to bottom. But on top of that, all these injuries, and then there's been whispers too that he had been on HGH and all this stuff, so his body's been breaking down. Like, guy just swung so freaking violently. He changed the game, now golf is in a great place. I know you guys ain't golfers, but the Masters been on this week. I've been geeking out because they got Spieth, Jason Day, all these guys, and they're all like
a lot of young gunners.
Generations, they all come from Tiger, and that's the bottom line. I think he's got one, maybe two left in him.
You think he'll do it again?
Jack Nicklaus got one when he was 46 years old. Tiger will get one. Tiger's 40. He's competitive as hell.
Yeah,
I think he's got magic left.
He needs to go.
You don't lose that magic. It doesn't go away. Like, it's still in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But it pains me that this whole thing with him the last couple of years has been brutal.
He needs to quit beating his meat and start fucking all the white bitches again. No, seriously.
I mean,
for I'm telling you, man. When a black man shackles up with a white woman.
Shackles? What kind of things are you doing right there?
Jesus.
Is this consensual?
Our full potential comes out.
And some people said that. And some people said he just needs to go back to doing, going back.
Tiger needs to go broke, back to being
don't
Tiger.
Fix it, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I guess as a black man banging a white chick, that's got to be pretty good for your ego. You know, it's got to be a pretty big booster. You're like, fuck yeah. Dude.
Because we're telling all the races.
Did you guys, have you guys
that's
been
like reparations in itself.
We're telling all the racist white men, fuck you.
No.
Have you guys been watching the O.J. Simpson show?
What was it? American Crime Story?
Yeah. Oh my God! We watched it. I'm not gonna ruin anything for you, Berg. We don't need to get all into that.
Give me a teaser though.
But it
give
was
me
just
a
crazy.
Then,
no, they were kind of talking. Like, I watched the final episode. We DVR'd it last night, And it was just crazy going back to that fact about obviously some of the ins and outs of the story when we were, I was 10 years old when all that was going on.
Yeah.
But seeing it kind of from this perspective, and I didn't realize they were talking about OJ being this black guy, you know, this rich black guy marrying Nicole, you know, this white gal, and people just hated it. I mean, and then obviously getting it all, that was wild to see. Actually, it was pretty cool watching that series. You got to watch it, man. It's
there's a lot underneath.
There's a lot of crazy stuff. I had no idea that went down, man. OJ, man, he's Juice. I love that. Was the best.
The Juice is
still
loose.
One of the best nicknames out there. Juice and Riverboat Ron are my two favorite
Riverboat
nicknames.
Riverboat Ron. That is
Riverboat
that
Ron
a classic.
Is my, one of my favorites. But yeah, no, that reminded me of that crazy stuff.
Yeah, fucking the Juice, man. Talk about a fall from grace, man. I mean that guy. That guy was the king back in the day, dude. Everybody knew who he was. Didn't matter who you were. Everybody knew who OJ was.
Everything's corrupt, I've realized, now that I'm 30, man. I feel like everything's just corrupt. And Making a Murder, did you guys catch that? Did you guys catch that on Netflix?
I've heard about
around?
That, but I haven't seen
crazy,
much
man.
Of that.
Check that. I won't ruin that for you either. But
OJ
just,
was the man.
I feel like...
OJ was... And then one day, in a white Bronco, his life got flipped upside down. No, I mentioned this before. I was living in Atlanta, and he looked like the fucking good guy.
Yeah.
He looked like the fucking good guy because Atlanta's a black city.
Yeah.
And then I moved.
He was your freedom fighter.
Yeah.
He was your freedom fighter.
Yeah. And then I moved to Texas, and it got brought up, and I OJ didn't do it. I got the dirtiest fucking looks in the class. The dirtiest fucking looks.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I got the dirtiest fucking looks from a bunch of white kids, and I'm like, oh wow, this is a great first impression.
That, I didn't realize too that coming on the heels of the Rodney King beat. I mean, that was and that's why this show was kind of, you know, for me to kind of see all that, you know, not remembering that when I was young. That young,
yeah, we were a little
bit
too
crazy.
Young,
I mean, and like I said, and the star of that show, Johnny Cochran, man. The guy who played him, dude, was spot on that show. He was huge part of, obviously, the defense and all that stuff, him getting acquitted. But it was kind of crazy to see, because pretty much the show pretty much proved that he was guilty. But pretty much the show that everyone was like, oh, shit, okay, we're not going to go against it. They, you know, framed, making it look like the LAPD's crooked, which sounds like, you know, obviously, good chance. And fast forward to, that was 94, fast forward to what, the day we're living in, it still seems like not much has changed.
No.
It's kind of crazy.
Not as much as you think.
The real life verdict, I'll never forget Rob Kardashian's face when they read that verdict. You remember, he had that, are you fucking serious? And he was defending him. And OJ has a fucking smirk on his face. Dude. Like, two people died.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I've always been a firm believer in karma. Just one of those things. I'm not too superstitious, but I believe in karma. And the crazy thing at the end of that show is kind of catching up on where everyone was and all that. Think about all these guys on his team, I mean, Johnny Cochran already died of cancer.
Yeah.
Robert Kardashian died of cancer.
That's true.
I don't know, man. It's kind of weird how that worked out. You know, OJ's in jail for 30, you know, for another 30 years for stealing memorabilia and all that stuff. So it seems like things worked out. It's kind of, I don't know, kind of crazy.
Karma is a fucking bitch like
it's
that.
It's a bitch and it's real.
But I think more than anything, believer. It's just whatever you put out into the world, eventually it's going to return to you. You know, and if that's a shitty thing because you've been robbing people and fucking pointing guns at people, then something bad's gonna happen to you.
And
you're gonna get shot.
Broke my window in Seattle on Monday, breaking into my fucking car. Hope karma gets you, motherfucker.
It will, dude. It will.
God,
he'll go for it again. You know, he'll go for another $375 and change. You know, along with a few other items.
It's all he got from you. It's like $375 and
that
change.
That cup was quarter rich. Okay, it was quarter heavy.
They might have done me a little.
It was a lot of quarters.
My middle console, my car. I had so many freaking so back in the day I was all about burning CDs in college. Like I could king of making mixes right here. We were talking.
Did you charge people?
No, I did not.
I did.
Hell no.
I did in my neighborhood.
I did not.
I fucking
I made
did
it from the love of my heart. I said, you play this top to bottom songs 1 through 17.
You better fucking dance.
TG approved.
You better dance.
I was the only one in my neighborhood who had a CD burner, and I would advertise that shit around the neighborhood. Hey, $5 a CD, just give me your list, 20 at the max, $5 a pop. And I would download them. Woo, man. Like my sophomore year in high school, I made some pretty good money. Man.
I wasn't thinking then because, I made a lot of mixes.
Dude,
I'm out.
Dude, I'd be critiquing the shit out of your mix if I paid for it. No DMX party up? What kind of fucking mix is this, all right? Am I getting hyphy or what? Jesus Christ.
What the fuck? I did not want DJ... Clue on the fuck in the beginning. You know, you remember if you downloaded a rap song, if you downloaded a rap song for free, usually that song would have
the DJ Clue.
DJ Clue.
There's a storm.
There's a storm.
New shit.
Well, that's the best. I'll be sitting there, if I'm in traffic, which I'm always am, and I'm bored. That's what I loved about my little mix box in the middle. I'd pull in the middle console. I'd like 70 CDs just in there, thrown in there. I'd always have to rub them off, you know, just make sure. Oh, there's so many scratches on them. I'd put it in, and it'd skip, 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 and then I'd have to find the track. But then I'd listen to a track, and I'm like, man, where did he go? What, I mean, music, I'm sorry, music sucks these days.
Oh, it's awful.
I'm a music man. I'm a big hip hop guy. We were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And these last couple years, I can't even keep up, man. I can't. No. It's hard. Names. It's these hard. Rappers' names.
It's hard.
Fetty Wap.
I want Rich you.
Homie Kwan. Rich Homie Kwan.
It's like, that's the best you guys came up with.
Have you heard
Rich Homie? Ty Dolla Sign.
Have you heard Rich Homie Quan's freestyle over Tupac's Ambition of a Rider?
I have not.
No, I'm glad I haven't.
It is the most horrific
freestyle abomination.
Yeah.
But there's some guys that have come out late. Like, I love Kendrick. Kendrick's the man.
Yeah. No. It's all about the polar opposites. You know, you got the really good and you got the really bad too.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mixed bag for sure. But there is some big names though. And there's still some guys that are doing it. You got to sift through a lot more bullshit.
You guys Macklemore fans?
I'm not
taking it for one guy that grew up here and one guy that didn't.
I'll start this one off. I like him.
I like him. I like him.
I like him.
Yeah.
I think there's kind of a little bit of a frenzy around him, and I don't know if it's necessarily deserved.
Yeah.
And he's done some kind of weird shit in the news a few times. You know, like
for sure.
Like trying to do the right thing. You know, like being an activist or something.
Was he in rehab for a while?
I think for a little while, way back. Yeah, but I mean, and he's got some good songs, but I don't like all of his songs though.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of media frenzies and whatnot, I feel like Kanye, everything he's doing, I think he's pulling everyone's string. I think he's doing it on purpose. I think all these Twitter outbursts, and especially his clothing line. This is my, I swear to God, this is my opinion. Have you seen his clothing line that came out?
Yeah.
It looks like homeless people, like from the future.
They're in, dude. Homeless is in right now.
That look, I swear, he's going, hey, I'm so cool and influential. I can put out shitty clothes like this and get people to spend $2,000 for a long tee with four holes in it. Like, I swear, I think he's just doing it. I swear to God, I think he's smarter than we all are, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And is showing, hey, look, this is how stupid people are.
Yeah,
because he makes good music. His music's been a little different lately, but I still like him. But I don't know, are all the good ones crazy? Is that how it is?
Eminem, he's crazy.
He is. I guess it's true. A lot of them are. Yeah. I mean,
well, you look back, Elvis, that guy was fucking crazy.
They
shit,
all are.
Dude.
It's
he
true.
Couldn't live a normal life. Are you kidding me? People, everybody knew who he was. They're fans are crazy for him. You know, that shit just fucks with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're so many people love you that what happens is you end up becoming isolated because of it.
Yep.
Because of all those other people. And it's a catastrophe waiting to happen, but
music's not the same. I stand by my man Luda. You know I'm a ludicrous guy. Luda, he was not like, he's not Jay-Z and all these guys, but he's always consistent.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best feet. He's a big feet Luda guy. That's where he's at his best.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to keep up these days, but it sucks. I'm going for my CDs. I don't have my iPod. I don't even have an iPod anymore. Because I have a laptop that he's had my iTunes on that I used to download all my songs.
Yeah, and you got your fucking.
And now I'm just on the Tidal subscription now. Like I was on iTunes, my iTunes Music now or whatever. But I'm streaming my music now apparently. But yeah, I miss downloading songs because I was the king of that. That was my obsession.
You should have thought about
it. I wasn't selling my CDs for $5
a pop.
Jesus.
$5.
That's what I was selling the Marshall Mathers LP
for. I guess I wasn't doing it right. I wasn't doing it right.
Hey, you know, you were doing it for the love of the game, Tony.
I was.
Greater man.
I had a rule. You have to come in hot with a great track one. That's the rule. You got to keep them staying attention. And then the other rules, you got to finish them strong.
Yeah.
A good intro, a good outro to your mix. That's my only rules.
You can't start off with no Brian McKnight. Are you kidding?
No, you gotta keep
bring
them.
The hit
when
right
you put
off
the
bat.
CD in, that, the first song, it's gonna tell
it's
you everything you need to know.
And you gotta keep it going too. Yeah. You can't get too soft there early
that's
on.
Why my man Luda always has a great intro to all his CDs.
Did you know that he?
Fuck it. The world.
He's been in Fast and Furious now since episode 2.
You know
he's been in every single one.
You know what I heard?
No, he wasn't in Tokyo Drift.
Hey. Speaking of that,
was he not?
No,
maybe he wasn't, but I know he started in
random,
number 2 though.
Random and crazy. I heard Ja Rule was offered the role of Luda's role, and he turned it down. And last I recall, Ja Rule hasn't done shit.
No.
Since 2001.
Yeah.
That cost him how many millions of dollars?
No, he hasn't done shit. He hasn't done shit.
How many millions?
He hasn't done shit since he fucked with Eminem and 50 Cent.
Yeah, that seriously was the timing of it. And yeah, you're right. And who knows what opportunities that would have led to.
And that's,
just keeping his face in the public.
Literally took that and ran
standing
with it,
next
man.
To Vin Diesel and saying some shitty ass dialogue.
Yeah.
God, I saw number 7.
You collide. That's what you get. The Rock and Luda with me in these new ones. It collides. God, I get.
Yeah.
I can't even handle myself.
Too much. Yeah, it's too much.
Ja Rule was in Half Past Dead with Steven Seagal. Have you seen that?
Oh,
shitty.
Steven Seagal, man. No, Seagal had some great ones.
I got to put on some weight. No, dude, you want to talk about shitty movies? Furious 7. Such a pile of dumb
shit. I didn't even see it.
Such a good.
I saw 6. Good. 6 was not bad, actually. Good.
If Paul Walker didn't die right after this movie came out, it would
They're
be
making a, an 8 and a 9, I heard.
It would be exposed for
didn't
the
they already
complete
sign up for
piece
8 and
of
9?
Shit that it is. They better. I hope
I
they
swear
didn't.
To God, I heard
I
they signed
they
up. I think they signed up for 8 and 9.
Yes, they
fucking
did.
Terrible.
Did they not? Did I read this right on Twitter? They signed up on 8 and 9.
They probably will because they can make $150 million off of it and they probably only spend $100 to make it.
Can you believe 2016 is a 15-year anniversary of the first one? Because the first one came out in 2001.
Really? 15 years of Fast and Furious shitty fucking production.
That's crazy, man.
15 years of Fast and Furious.
The fucking Rock drives a paramedic truck off of a...
He can do whatever the hell
off
he
of
wants,
an overpants. Off an overpants. It hits a drone. Hits a drone out of midair.
He's the Rock. He's the Rock.
Out of midair. He just took a shot.
He can do no fucking wrong.
The drone was probably going 400 miles per hour, but he timed it perfectly.
Dwayne Johnson, man. God. He's Dwayne Johnson.
And then kicked the window out and walked out with a couple of scratches on his arms.
He
could have
rock bottomed the thing and gave it a people's elbow
such
at the same
piece
time.
Such a dog shit. God, I'm sorry, Paul Walker, rest in peace, but God, it was fucking terrible. There's so many movies, though, looking back.
And it's crazy to me, he still goes back to WrestleMania. I didn't get WrestleMania. I'm kind of mad I'm not getting these WrestleManias because I heard WrestleMania was awesome this year. They brought back all these guys.
You saw it, didn't you?
Did you watch? Did you order? I heard. Wait, tell me. Was it $70 on pay per view?
No,
my buddy told me it was $70.
What you need to do is get the WWE Network. It's $9.99 a month, and they have every single pay per view, and not just that. Every single WCW pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Every single ECW pay-per-view. Every single WWE pay-per-view.
See, I don't care about all those.
Well, you don't watch the old school?
I miss the old school stuff. I grew up on The Rock, Stone Cold, Triple H.
Yeah, you get to watch all of that.
That's
again.
Why I heard it was cool because like Stone Cold came back. Mick Foley, it was Cactus Jack, came back.
Well, I was excited.
Shawn Michaels came back.
That's my favorite.
Rock came back.
I can relate to Shawn Michaels and Stone Cold because I grew up in Texas.
Wait,
they're from Texas.
Who won the Shane McMahon Money McMahon match?
Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon.
I heard he fell off the hell. He flew off the hell in the cell.
Yeah, that cell was like 30 feet high.
Jesus, man, that's crazy.
He
wrestling ain't that big. Wrestling his face, but some of that shit.
No,
man,
the danger is real.
I can understand it's real. Some of that
shit. The danger is fucking real.
I was 11. I remember ordering 1999. The 1999 Over the Edge pay-per-view. The one where Owen Hart died.
Jeez.
And
see, I wasn't a wrestling fan then.
No. But you remember hearing about
it. I remember
hearing
about it. Oh, yeah.
See, this is what happened. I can remember it. So, he was going to have a match with The Godfather for the Intercontinental Championship. And they're rolling the promo footage for the match. And when that's done, the cameras in the crowd... The shooting the crowd and Jim Ross is saying there was an accident and I'm guessing Owen Hart is in the ring and they're attending to him and
that'd be crazy to see
and then we hear the crowd clapping and Jerry the King Lawler, who was a big bad guy announcer, and he's out of character. He's like, it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
And after 10 minutes later, Jim Ross said this was not part of the show and Owen Hart has died. And everyone around me was just like, what the fuck just happened?
And we're
questioning, please tell me this is part of the show. And the next day, I remember turning on to Good Morning America and that was the top headline, and I started crying.
That's crazy.
I bawled like a baby, and I remember watching Monday Night Raw, and they dedicated the show to Owen Hart, and they had these, they had every wrestler talk about Owen, good memory of him for like 2 minutes. I remember Mick Foley and Owen were really close. I didn't know that.
Foley's a man.
Yeah, they were really close with each other.
Socko. Hell yeah. Yeah. So you hear the rock and sock connection, baby. Yeah.
Anyway, Mick Foley was just, you know, he's an uplifting, he's an energetic guy, but when he was talking about Owen, that he was down.
Yeah.
But that was sad.
That's crazy too. That's like something that's probably like a routine thing. Like they probably practice a bunch of times. Sure. It's probably like, we'll do it. No problem.
He was supposed to be coming down from the Raptors, and it snapped, and he fell like 50 feet.
Yeah, that's Jesus. Crazy. I saw a video on YouTube. It was like a Cirque du Soleil event, and yeah. They were like spinning around in this structure, like this circular metal structure. And there's like, you know, all these girls like acrobatically hanging off it, dangling by their legs or whatever. And the whole fucking structure just comes down and boom, like three or four of them underneath it. I think one or two people died.
That's crazy.
Like you're just dangling on that shit. Yeah, you don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. That shit's intense.
Why I'm not a daredevil, bro.
Oh my god.
That's why I'm back to it. Dude. I'm not a daredevil.
Exactly. We gotta take it easy now. Like you're saying, we're fucking 30.
I like my
30.
Feet on the ground. Yeah. You know, like I'm not a huge. Exactly. I don't love fly. I mean, I'll fly obviously, but yeah. I don't love it.
Well, I was talking about getting on a roof earlier. You know, shooting fucking neighbor kids with BB guns.
Yeah.
Dude, even getting off a roof, I remember you just jump right off. Yeah. You just jump right off and kind of tuck and roll and land in the backyard. No fucking chance you're going to see me jumping off even a Rambler roof. Bert, no fucking chance.
I'm screwed. I'm a new homeowner, and I won't even get on my own roof, man. Like, I'm one of those guys. I need someone to do. I'm going to pay you to do it for me. Like I am not a fixer-upper guy. Like I told my wife that we were house hunting. I'm like, here's the deal. I like the apartment living because we got guys that, you know, these guys are coming in and fixing what we need. You know? I'm not a handy guy. Like I need to.
It's not your forte. You know?
My dad was. Nobody's perfect. Are you going to check your roof? You know, I'm like. I'm not getting on my roof. Are you kidding me? I'm not a daredevil, man. Keep my feet on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. That's your pops, you know? He's got that Latino heritage in him, you know?
No, my mom's Latino.
Oh, that's right. It's your mom.
My dad, he's Irish. Right. She's Irish.
Oh, he's Irish. Well, you know, more hard workers, man. You know? They got to get out there and do it.
But it's funny, though, because everyone, we were talking the pre-work days, and I was telling you when I had to sell shoes at Macy's after graduating college in 2008. Perfect time to get out of school. And I was so embarrassed. I hated retail. I mean, retail, that whole thing, man. Have you guys both worked retail before?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think everybody has at some point in their life.
I feel like everyone should do it in their life at some point. It's like a rite of passage. It should be a rite of passage, man. Because some of these people got some nerve. I just, for me, it was the people, like, my wife gets on me about, she's all about using coupons. And that's great. And I'm not a coupon guy. I think it's a hassle for me to get it out.
It's a lot of work to save 74 cents.
If you're going
to
save like 10 bucks, you know, something like that or more, heck yeah.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to save 50 cents on these apples or bananas, like,
to carry around this burden that is a coupon.
And that's why I'm not the frugal one. I'm married up in my marriage. So she's the one, the money person. But that's one of those things. I'm not a coupon guy.
You can use coupons on your cell phone now, man.
I know. It's getting to that point. You can do everything with your cell phone now. Man, so are you a coupon user then?
Actually,
I'm not dogging coupon users. I'm not shaming them.
But you gotta tell yourself how much is your time worth though.
That's exactly. It's a time.
How much
thing.
Is your time worth?
I go to retailmenot.com.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Never heard of
that. Slim, have you heard of that?
I have not heard of that.
Retailmenot.com is for it's big if you online shop. Basically, what you do is save your shopping on Amazon.com and type it, and you're a Retail Me Not, and you type in Amazon, a shitload of coupon codes will pop up, and some of them are like free shipping if you spend like 50 bucks or more. For example, I went, I shopped on muscleandstrength.com last week to get a shred stack.
Yeah.
And I spent $140, and I found this code on retailmenot.com that gave me free shipping if you spend $99 or more. It gave me the code. I put it in the blank when I was putting my order. took off the shipping charge.
Yeah. Well, I heard that. Do you hear that story? Kawhi Leonard for the Spurs. So he's making millions of dollars for the Spurs, up and coming dude in the NBA. He's a stud.
He is definitely a stud.
They came a story, but I think it was a couple weeks back, 2-3 weeks ago, that said that he still uses coupons for his for his chicken wings at Wingstop, and he drives like a 1997 Chevy something. I don't even know what it is.
Whatever that's worth $1,500.
It's unbelievable. He's super frugal, but like that's kind of, it was a cool story. I mean, it's kind of a cool story thinking of, because obviously but, opposite end of some of these guys, the money they're making, how much they're blowing. For sure.
Well, but it's always good to be that way off the bat too, you know, especially when you start. But
Marshawn Lynch, you hear about Marshawn? He hasn't spent a penny of all the money he's made from the NFL.
How the fuck did he buy that?
He has literally just spent all his endorsement money.
That is, he's storing something away.
Don't judge a book by its cover,
man. You're storing something away.
What do y'all think of all these NFL players starting to retire at the age of 30? How's that going to change the game?
It's kind of crazy. I mean, it's because I know some of these guys. I know Calvin Johnson's a little, he's one of the bigger names, but some of these guys like Borland for the Niners. I think this other guy, linebacker, he's like kind of a second tier linebacker. It's some of these guys that are retiring now that haven't yet made millions and millions of dollars, which is kind of crazy. So I don't know, that whole concussion talk. Like people ask, oh, are you gonna let your kids play football?
Yeah.
I have a son. You know what? Hell yeah, I'm gonna let him play football.
Yeah, if he wants to.
Learned a lot of great lessons playing football. Learned a lot of great life lessons playing football. But there, it's a lot more people are becoming more aware of it. But we were talking to NFL man. Nothing's gonna slow that monster down, man. They're owning every. Like we talked about this last time I was here, man. Owning every day of the week.
Yeah, they're trying to.
Every month of the year, nothing's gonna slow them down. It is a little concerning, but I don't think it's like throwing. I don't know what that phrase. Throwing a rock in a cliffside or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. There's no stopping it, man. There's no.
Speaking of professional sports, we got to talk about our home team, Seattle Mariners. Opening day was earlier this week.
Yeah, they just got kicked off the Summer Classic. Yeah, well, that's why we brought in the Guru. Exactly.
They kicked it off.
Home opener tomorrow, man.
They kicked it off against the Texas Rangers, and they went 2-for-3.
They did. That was a huge series win, man. That was a huge series win.
Yeah, that definitely was. It was impressive fashion. The way it went down, too, like the first game, it was just like, is this fucking happening right off the bat?
Well,
like,
they lost in the most Mariner way possible. Felix threw a one-hitter. I believe, the first pitcher in 100 years to lose off giving up one run in the home opener.
That's still pretty impressive. You know?
Here's the thing. I'm not going to lie. Once again, I'm going back to saying I'm not super superstitious. I guess I am kind of superstitious because I was secretly hoping two things this year, preseason and start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Mariners have just tore up spring training in the last like 6-7 seasons, right? Yeah. Leading to no playoff appearances or anything like that. Very disappointing seasons. They've also, going into this game, I think they won 9 straight season opening games.
Hmm.
Started off Felix, and that was all because of Felix. He had won 9 straight. That's, he was true, going for his 10th on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, just it's unbelievable that Felix. Besides The Rock, he's like my other guy. Felix, it's been an absolute treat watching that guy pitch. He's getting older. Time's running out on him.
Yeah,
this team's got to make the playoffs, and I think they're off to a great start. Jerry DePoto, I mean, you absolutely pretty much cleaned house last year.
Yeah.
And I was telling you before the show, Berg, I really feel like I had to eat so much freaking crow last year. I still got feathers in my teeth. I was all aboard telling everyone the Mariners going to win 100 games with freaking Robbie, Seager, Nelson Cruz.
Yeah.
I was a big Lloyd McClendon fan. I mean, the prior year, they one game short of the playoffs. So many people picked them to win the World Series. And then every year is different in baseball. Baseball is, I always tell people this, at all the sports, it's the craziest sport of them all. There's the weirdest nuances and little things that happen. It's crazy. It's a long-ass season. And my other thing I was saying, I'd hope they lost the home opener. Unfortunately, I didn't want to root against Felix. But we've just trying to change the mojo up. They lost the first game. They won the last two. Here's the key is, we've always struggled in April. That's their problem. I think they got the worst record in baseball in the month of April. Yeah,
they were dog shit last
year. And everyone blames the marine layer in Seattle. It's cold everywhere. It's April still.
Too rainy up there.
But I think, they've completely remodeled everything. I've been cautious. I'm telling everyone to stay cautiously optimistic. But this town, after what the Seahawks have done, it's easy. All you got to do is win some games. And if they can start fast, people will jump on board. Safeco Field, you guys have both. Have you been down there yet? Yeah. Game
yes,
there?
I have. I've been to Safeco Field.
It's one of the
Field
best
twice.
Venues in baseball. I mean, especially good. In the summertime, it's got everything you need. They're on top of everything there, technology wise.
Yeah,
it's the place to be, and it's craving playoff baseball, and I think it happens this year.
Yeah,
I think they're going to get in.
It's good to be optimistic, man. It's just crazy.
And I'm an
optimistic.
Tough with these guys. Yeah, I'm an optimistic guy with the Seattle.
I'm a big team. Robinson Cano fan.
He's a you guys heard about Andy Van Slyke calling him out at the end of the year. He's one of the old coaches on Lloyd's staff.
Did he, really?
He aired out dirty laundry on Robbie.
Yeah.
It was a couple months ago. He was on a radio baseball doing a baseball hit, and he pretty much said Robbie, yeah, he's good, but he's kind of lazy. You know, he couldn't hit Miss Daisy the side of a barn. He just called him out, and and obviously Robbie didn't like that. And I know he pretty much took that personally. And apparently last year, his grandfather died, which was like his dad. Apparently, like, he was so close to him, it was like his dad.
Yeah,
died right before the season started, and then he had a sports hernia, so he was down and out the fold. At least they say he was. So he's back 100%. Now everyone's back 100%. Yeah. And I think we made some great moves.
He's got to step it up, though. I mean, he with the contract that guy's getting paid, you have to. We need fucking something here, man. You're getting paid a fortune every single year, and I'll give you. Yeah, he's coming out hot, but he's definitely he needs a quicker start than he had last year, because last year was pretty bleak.
No doubt about it.
Midway to the year,
and now I mean I think in his whole career, I think that especially that first half, I mean that's like a blip on the radar. It was one of his worst of his career, and I'll chalk it if it happens again this year. You know, then you can start getting worried about his age. Obviously, those contract numbers, but I thought it was pretty cool. We got to meet at the radio station there. Scott Service, the new coach, came in, did a little Q&A with us at the station. And so that was right before spring training started. And he's almost just acted like a cool dad, like in a way. You know what I mean? He was very down to earth, and he was saying how much he idolized the way the Seahawks have had so much success here.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to take a lot of that thinking that they, you know, music and practice, kind of the new cool stuff, you know, kind of just going away from the tradition.
Yeah.
And his goal with telling us that, and he stuck through it, what I read through all the spring training was, obviously it's going to be hard. We got so many new pieces coming together. You got the core, Felix, Robbie, Nelson, and Seager. That's your core right there. You pretty much got rid of everybody else.
Yeah.
How in the freaking world do you take grown men, put them in a grind every day in spring training and make it, but you got to not only make it fun, but you got to make these guys come together in a month. You know what I mean? And so what he did, I guess they did, they had a chalk talk session every single day at 9 a.m. every day in spring training. They got together in a room and got to know each other. And it was like I guess one of our new closers, Tony Zike, we got him, and one of the days was like, hey, what's your best hobby? What are you good at besides baseball? He's like, pool's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So new Scott Service goes, hey, Robbie, you're making $240 million, no problem, right? You buy the best pool table you can find for the clubhouse, and we're going to have pool games. See who's the best pool player here. So it was things like that.
Nice,
got them gelling. The veterans bought in. And so I think that you can kind of see that. And it was apparent that second game when the fucking bartender, Beans Iannetta, you know, after the things were getting heated, benches cleared, Service comes out, he's dropping the F-bomb. Other coach dropping the F-bomb. As a player, I see a new coach do that. Shows me he has my back.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it was for me interesting to see how that's going to, and obviously it's only three games in. So
we're
going to see how it gels. But they sucked at home last year. They got to defend the home home turf and play better at Safeco Field. They brought the fences in already. So what else you want, man?
It is. It's a mindset, though. You know, you talk about them taking something from the Seahawks. And
a lot
of it's just a mindset. And everybody needs to be on the same page. And they got to know what the goal is and how they're going to achieve it and what everybody's part is and where they fit in to achieve that goal.
Berg, us and the Nationals are the only two teams that haven't made the playoffs in the longest droughts. And I don't know about you, but I'm so sick and tired of hearing about 2001. I will say this, huge piece having Edgar as our hitting coach is humongous, man. Yeah. He came in halfway through the year last year. All those guys started hitting. You saw how we were playing. We were already out of the race then.
Yeah.
They get Edgar, and Robbie's already attested to him. Those guys can connect with those guys. Thinking of him having a full year with him, I think it's going to be huge for us.
Yeah.
The Nat can continue that streak because I fucking hate Bryce Harper. That guy, that is.
You don't like Bryce?
Fuck no. Bryce is such. He's a douchebag.
He's trying to make baseball fun again.
Oh my. You saw that?
I saw that.
That What a douche move. You get paid millions.
I will say this, though. Hey, how sweet was that bat flip last year by Jose Bautista? That was the coolest thing on Twitter. Like, that thing, like, that's cool to see. And the new Mariner, I think, Daiho Lee, we got Mariner signed this first baseman, hit 30 home runs from Japan. I don't know if he's a big bat flipper, but in Japan, I don't know if you've seen those videos. Those guys flip those motherfucking bats in Japan after, like, every hit. It's insane.
And really?
I don't want to see it to that extent. But I know baseball's a very traditional sport. I get it, you know. But at the same time, I can see where Bryce is. He's one of those guys, kind of like Cam Newton. I thought from the get-go, I'm like, man, this guy's too much for me. He's kind of grown on me, and I don't know. I don't think he's as bad as he used to be.
No.
But you like Cam Newton, though. So why do you not like him? I mean, I don't understand that.
Those two are boys, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says he wants to be the Cam Newton of baseball. See, and then you got Mike Trout, who's even, I think, a better baseball player. He's like a traditionalist. He doesn't want to see the bat flips and everything that. But I will say this. I was a fan of, like, Fernando fucking Rodney last year, the roller coaster. I was a fan. I like the arrow thing. It changes it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think if you're doing the arrow though, you need your opponents when they beat you.
Yes.
They got to come back with a little something. You know, it's like you're gonna try to rub it in when you're fucking killing it.
I want to see more baseball brawls. Like, there's nothing better than an old fashioned fucking baseball brawl.
I remember the one time I'll ever remember, the most memorable Mariners game I ever went to, where I went with my uncle. It was a couple years before he died. And he took me to the game because he lived in Alaska and shit, and so there was no baseball team. Mm-hmm. So he always wanted to see him.
Alaska adopts our teams. I don't blame him.
Exactly. He wanted to see somebody, and this is his closest chance. So we went to the game. We drove the bus down. You know, he wanted to drink some beers and stuff. And we hung out the game. Kind of boring game against the Yankees. We were playing the Yankees.
Yeah.
Got to like the seventh inning, and I think we were down by like 3 or 4 runs, and he was like, "All right, you know, we should probably hit the road here, get going."
It's, I know,
like,
you're seventh. Going with this, Berg. I remember this.
We get on the bus and we're listening, like, there's radios like playing on the bus because, you know, they're transporting M's fans, so you can hear this. The fucking eighth or ninth inning rolls around, and there ends up being a bench clearing brawl at the game that we were at.
Hey, it was Frankie Rodriguez. I don't know if you remember this name.
Year was this?
It was like 96, 94.
Oh, so the Kingdom was still up.
It was Kingdom days.
Was it?
This was Kingdom days. Okay. But I remember, I'm pretty sure, and I always get it mixed up because I know Arthur Rhodes had an issue where I think it was the one with Arthur Rhodes where one, and these were two close brawls around the same time, but I think Arthur Rhodes had his diamond earrings in. And Omar Vizquel was up at the bat, and he complained about his earrings, and they made him take his earrings out.
Yeah,
and I think then that finally was it, he beamed him. He beams Omar Vizquel. No, he didn't take the. Actually, they let him keep the earrings in, and then Omar Vizquel starts walking out to him, and he just drops his mitt, takes the earrings both out, like he didn't want to mess with them.
Yeah,
no, baseball brawls. They're old school. Nolan Ryan, Robin Ventura, headlock one.
Yeah,
it's just a fucking romp, dude. It's old, just going,
I
mean,
like, hockey brawl. Hockey, I love hockey. Hockey's brawls are awesome too. But
you know my favorite baseball reaction from a player? George Brett, the Pine Tar.
Oh.
When he runs out from that play, that is the definition of going ape shit.
Yeah.
George fucking Brett. Out.
But
he went ape shit.
I was fired up though, going back to the Mariners to see the benches clear game two of oh my god, only
they're
game two.
No,
they're going to see Texas a lot more times. Everyone's picking Houston and Texas to take the division. But I did hear which I totally believe. We were talking, I remember last podcast, about parity in football, NFL.
Yeah.
Well, they're saying, I guess, and I've seen it, especially, for me, nothing's better than getting off work at night when the Mariners on at 7 o'clock, making dinner and like sitting down. I watch every fucking Mariner
game. It's good background noise.
It's the best. It's even better for me when I'm out golfing and listening to them. Mariners on the radio, baseball
You don't have
on the
to
radio.
Pay attention the whole time, but it's the best just radio. Going on.
I get what you're saying because I grew up in Georgia.
Right?
Fucking Braves on TBS.
See, you know what we're talking.
Yes.
That's what baseball's my first love. Like, as much as I played quarterback, loved football, like baseball was where I started. Ken Griffey Jr. and all that, right?
Yeah.
But it blows my mind that this city hasn't seen playoff baseball in fucking 15 years. I don't even remember. I remember 95 better than 2001 when they last made 116 games.
I know. How
games.
Is that? That's so weird.
Roy did Brett Boone on that team. Yeah. We had, that was a fun
talk about some bat flips.
Exactly, right? But it's just I read an article that said every team this year going into the season, like just the WAR and all the crazy metrics they have these days, they're pretty much that said every team, there's not one just front runner team that just, you know, like Patriots or anyone like that just head over heels over everyone. Yeah. He said the statistics laid out shows that every fucking team can either win 100 games or lose 100 games. And it's wide open. And so Mariners last year, they came out of the gate so damn slow. I will never forget it. It was the game Felix was pitching a no-hitter against the Yankees. It was May last year. Rain starts coming down. Whoever didn't hit the roof on time, rain mucked up the mound. Felix slips, hurts his ankle, gives up a couple hits. We lose the game, and we lose 12 straight after that. Ended the season pretty much last year. It was brutal.
Uh-huh.
And so we had a lot of bad luck. Bullpen blew up on us. Things happened last year. This year, these guys, DePoto brought in Aoki, Adam Lin, some of these new guys, Daiho Lee. I'm a big fan of Leonis Martin. He picked up a lot of guys that had down years last year.
Uh-huh.
And that are still he's all about being athletic. He said Jack Cerenzik, and which was totally true. He went all about Mark Trumbo, all these big just sluggers in a big ballpark where you should be getting base hits and scoring runs, and we need to have a more athletic team. We've built that.
Yeah,
I think we got a great chance. You stay healthy, we got a good chance this year. Stay in the mix.
They did make some moves. It was good. The thing is that what I worry is AL West is fucking tough.
It's the hardest division in baseball.
There is no fucking slouches in this entire division. There's no weak spots. I mean, it is top to bottom, dude. You got to bring your shit every night. 162 games. I mean, it's brutal, man.
In year to year, so different because everyone, like, no one expected the Astros to be as good as they were last year. They've got a great team again, but to do it year in and year out, and I feel like every year the guys that were just balling out last year don't do the same year. New guys step up, but like I said, baseball's the weirdest one of them all.
Yeah.
Completely different, but you just got to have some luck on your side, and you got to keep it going.
No question. Yeah, you got to ride that momentum, too. Like you're saying, like, he hurt his ankle, and boom, you lose 12. Like, that shit happens a lot in baseball.
But I'm not predicting 100 wins like I did last year. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say they get 88 is going to be the number this year, but that's going to be enough for them. I don't know how. 86 I don't know if they're going to win the West or get into a wild card. We will end. I'm going to put a TGG on this, all right? Yeah. A Tony Gardner guarantee. I don't throw these TGG. Out often.
Ooh, okay.
I'm TGG.
Exclusive.
You heard it here.
Exclusive.
My buddies will know they'll laugh at me, make fun of me for this, but I'm going to put a TGG that we end the postseason drought this year for the Mariners. Somehow, some way. If I don't, I'll eat crow for a second straight year again, and I'll walk away, and I won't talk
I'd love
Mariners
to see
ever
that.
Again.
I'd love to see you munching on some crow once again.
Oh, man. I'm still tasting it from last year, man, Berg. And here I am just putting a TGG on a playoff-bound Mariner team. God, 88 wins.
You're a madman, Tony.
I'm a madman. They do say I tend to see the sports glass half full there instead of half empty.
Who's going to have more wins, the Mariners or the Braves?
Mariners. Braves are still in their rebuilding.
Oh, really?
I don't even think I can name a one guy on the Braves right now.
Freddie fucking Freeman. Freddie Freeman. And Julio Teheran.
Why didn't you guys pay? What's his name? He's on the Cardinals now.
Jason Hayward. Hey, man. We're trying to.
You guys are rebuilding over there. Yeah, the Mariners have been rebuilding for the last 15 years. So don't worry about it.
Speaking of the Braves, you know what my ultimate dream matchup was? And it almost happened.
The strike year?
Yeah, it almost happened in 95, but y'all fucked it up by losing to Cleveland in the ALCS.
Don't remind me.
The 90s Braves with that rotation versus the 90s Mariners with that lineup.
Yeah.
That would have been
94, the strike year. Everyone was predicting Mariners and Braves.
Was that
for
really?
The World Series. Yeah. And then came back and did it. Because remember, Griffey broke his wrist, started in 95. So we had to come back and make that run with
Braves won the series.
94 was the Mariners' year, and of course it was just a strike year. Of course,
yeah,
that's how it works in Seattle.
I was 7, and I just remember our rotation was Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz. I mean, they were the biggest fucking thing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I was just hoping because I love King Griffey. I had zero bad things to say about the Mariners. I was hoping that we would be put to the test against Buehner, Martinez, Rodriguez, and Griffey. That would have been so fucking fun to watch.
I know though what Atlanta doesn't have. They don't have or they didn't have a man in the tree. Did you guys talk about that? You guys probably never talked about that. I was just so eclipsed with. I was just so just like, oh my gosh, I was enamored with that. Man in the tree, man. What a, that's a, is that as Seattle as it gets?
That is pretty
speaking
funny.
Of old is that Seattle, as
Seattle as it gets? Yeah, I hate to say
of,
it.
Speaking of old school Seattle sports.
He was wearing a nice flannel.
You two, Slim, Tony, you two are your senior Seattleites. You've
yes.
grown up here.
30 years, baby.
Yeah, 30 years. How long for you?
Same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Lindbergh, both. Man, I, you know, and I from the outside growing up in Georgia and Texas, I you know, the kingdom was just it's just a wonder to me, and now I work across the street from where the kingdom used to be,
yeah.
and every time I ask about, so you know, how is it like having the kingdom downtown? Everyone's like, it was a big piece of fucking concrete.
It was a shitty piece of shit, but it was so damn good at the same time. I mean, walking up the ramps, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I was 8, 9, 10. I mean, that's yep. that stuff you just don't forget. You
the
know
roaring
what I mean?
Of that place when it got
oh,
loud.
When Griffey hit a bomb and hearing Griffey hit a bomb, parade.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, I wish we still had it. No, I wish we still had it. I do.
Tony's like, fuck no.
Well, same thing. Well, shit, the marine layer is a real deal now. I mean, we didn't have the marine layer. I mean, it's, that's a tough thing. I mean, having, like, and obviously we're not the only place. Cleveland, I think yeah. it was 34 degrees yesterday or the day before when they're playing the Red Sox. But no, it's one of those deals, man. I kind of miss it. It was kind of our own place, but obviously nothing compares to CenturyLink now. And yeah, they're both nice. Gorgeous and whatnot. Nice. But for baseball, apparently...
Affordable price, too. You know, only about $800 million. We'll be paying it off for the next 30 years.
Yeah. Tony, do you have a favorite Kingdom memory?
Oh, man, I do, actually. My favorite Kingdom memory, I was at the game when Mark McGwire hit the top of the fucking stadium, hit the top of the scoreboard. It was, I've never seen a ball hit harder in my life. I swear to God. Like, I saw a lot of Griffey home runs. Like, Griffey was my idol growing up then. But Mark McGwire, the Oakland A's, he was the Bash Brothers. It was him and Jose fucking Canseco. And I just remember him hitting that ball. It literally, I'm bad for podcast radio, but I turned my head just like this. Gone. And it hit, and everyone just was like, holy shit! Like, everybody cheered because no one had probably. I think that to this day it's one of the longest home runs.
Probably. Dude, do you think you got
Giancarlo Stanton on the Marlins? He hits him further, but yeah. that was back in the day when they were, you guys were just on the juice.
He probably got a needle.
These guys are on juice.
He's probably got a needle in his ass before the game started. All right, Mark, you ready?
Right. Sammy Sosa and him, that run, man. Like, see baseball.
That's what baseball back in the
I
back.
Live by this quote. This is a quote I live by. Hey, one of my favorite quotes. Chicks dig the long ball. Mm-hmm. It's a phrase. No you're, they remember the TV commercial. Yes, your Braves pitcher Maddox and Glavine.
And they came up. Those girls came up to Greg. Like,
oh, yeah.
Have you seen Mark? Have you seen Mark?
Because, hey, everyone wants to see the home run, right?
Oh,
come on, man.
The sound of the bat, that crack.
The
sound of
the
bat,
the home run hit.
You know, too, when it's got that trajectory.
It's
that thing's
best.
Fucking gone. Oh. That's going to a different zip code, baby.
That's what I'm saying. Hey, you go out to Safeco Field and I hit. When you see Nelson Cruz hit one now, like, that's the kind of pop.
Yeah.
There's not. Some of those guys just have that pop.
Yeah.
And I know it sucks. It's post steroids now. We're not seeing as many, but
yeah.
Home runs are the best.
Do you have a favorite Kingdom memory?
King, I do. I had an aunt. She was really cool. She was actually, me and my brother had different dads, and my sister, we had different dads. So she wasn't technically my aunt, but she acted like she was. She used to take me some Seahawks games back in the day.
Yeah.
And I remember we went to one against the Broncos, and that was like a really heated rivalry. Like,
oh, yeah.
We didn't fucking like each other. We played all the time. And, I remember this Broncos fan, we were losing. We were down by like a touchdown or two. It was back. It was like mid-90s, so the Hawks were kind of shitty back then.
Yeah.
But she was still a big fan. And I remember this guy was just running his mouth. He wouldn't shut up. He'd been drinking and just fucking yelling shit. And finally, my aunt just fucking yells, "Hey! Sit your ass down out there." I was just sweating nuts. And the guy actually chilled out. And he actually chilled even though they were winning. He was like, all right, cool. All right. And he behaved himself for the rest of it. And I was like, oh. And I had so much admiration for my aunt, you know.
Yeah.
I was just like,
that's
wow.
Awesome.
I was like, wow, that was, you know, I was like 9 years old, 8 or 9 years old. But I was like, wow, that was really cool that she did that. So that was cool. But I loved the Kingdom. It was it was fun back then.
It was a piece of our history, man. It's,
yeah.
I mean, but Safeco Field, like, if you can get a fucking playoff team out there and get some winning baseball and people invested, man, it's the best place in the city to be summertime.
Yeah.
Where were you all at when it was demolished?
My brother to this day still says that we lived in Bothell at the time.
Yeah.
He still says that he remembers hearing at our house.
99, right?
When it blew up.
I was probably in school.
2000.
Probably in class.
And you know the top of Nike Hill? You probably been up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When you're going down the opposite side, you can
get a quick
shot of Seattle. Yep, a very quick shot, like straight across. So, I mean, he says it. I don't know. Who fucking knows? This is the same guy. From Bothell? This is the same guy who said he was mowing the lawn for our, at our house when he was 5 years old. So,
you know, he said he heard it from Bothell.
Yeah, he said he heard
what?
It. Yeah,
it's crazy. I don't remember.
He's
I was,
weird like that though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, you know, it was sad, but what, it's just like the fact that we still fucking own money on that goddamn thing. That was what was so crazy about it. And we're going to demolish it and we still owe like $100 million. What the fuck are we
and
doing?
And maybe one of these days we'll get an arena for some basketball, some hockey. Yeah, we'll it sounds like lucky. That's a long way out. That's a whole other episode. Yeah. It sounds like that sucks.
You were talking though about how, you know, it's nice baseball summertime, weather's getting nice. We had a guest on a couple weeks ago, Marcus Netters, and he was talking about how baseball is the best thing to go on a date with a girl.
It's awesome.
It's the best date.
Don't take her to the pen though, because that's just full of just dude and testosterone and axe spray and all that.
Oh no, that's too much. But yeah, you just
there's sit a lot of different places. In,
you sit in the sands,
go,
you watch, and if she's interested and she's intrigued, you know, then she'll ask you questions or whatever, and she'll be involved. And if not, you guys can sit there and talk, you know, and you can actually communicate, and it's not too loud, and
it's easy going.
Yeah, and I never hit me, but I was like, holy shit, he's completely right.
Yeah,
you know, it makes perfect sense.
It's a go to place, no matter. And girls love it. Take her to Henry's or Pyramid,
perfect pace. They can
pre-drink and then walk cross street. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pyramid. Grab a couple brews. Yeah. Yep. So I mean, that's the one thing that baseball definitely has going for it is it's got fucking great timing.
Like Mark my words, good comedian. Come August and September, this team's gonna be in the race.
Listen.
If not, I will never come on the show again. I'll move to Maine.
Well, goddamn. Yeah.
I'll take my newborn baby to meet Laura. And I'll see if she wants to move to Maine. We'll head out of town.
I got a stat for you, Tony. I told her I was going to come at you a little bit here.
Yes, all right,
because you're the perpetual optimist, and I do appreciate that about you.
I am. I try to be.
But
I try
unfortunately, with me, when it comes to the Mariners, I got to be the realist.
No, UK. There's a lot of them out there. You don't make the playoffs in 16 years. That happens, man.
Listen to this one. Last 21 years, the pennant has been won by the Mariners 3 times.
Okay.
Everybody else that's been in the AL West in that time,
yeah,
it's been 6.
I know. It's brutal,
2-1.
It's brutal. It's brutal. But I'm telling you, if I'm Scott Service, I'm telling him, hey, you saw what happened with this town and the Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
You start winning a few games, people will be a little cautiously optimistic at first, as they should be.
Yeah.
But once it gets real, and it doesn't get real till after Memorial Day, that's when the race really heats up. But it is paramount that this team has to get a quick start. They're off to a quick start so far.
Yeah.
They just got to win more games. They were a better road team than home team last year. You got to win more at home. I think they got the starting pitching. Everyone was worried about the bullpen this year. They look great so far. We're only 3 games in, but just stay healthy. They've got some options. And then at the trade deadline, DePoto, hey, if they're in the mix, he can go ahead and make a move. They're in a good spot right now. But also, if they fucking fall on their face again, he's going to have to unload and trade Nelson Cruz and some of these guys.
That's
maybe
true.
Even Robbie Cano, which is crazy.
I
like what they got going right now, and it seems like everybody's in a good place. I feel like I'm walking on thin ice though. I'm with everybody else. Everyone's just like, come on.
That's just how it is. That's
but
what they've set us
the
up
old
for.
Phrase, same old Mariners. I feel like that is definitely a phrase that I'd like to bury this year. But I know last year they did the double handy skier thing they got doubles, and that was fun stuff. They didn't tell the media about it, so I wonder if they'll do something fun like that this year.
Yeah.
You got to have stuff like that going on. That's my only last thing too. The baseball handshakes are one of the best things ever.
Yeah, I just
all those
guys
have so many crazy.
You know they're
handshakes.
Putting in a lot of time after hours working on that.
That's
shit
a lot of
too,
effort.
You know?
You don't just do that every once in a while.
45 minutes at
you
practice.
You got a lot of time in baseball.
Yeah, 45 minutes of practice. They're
starting
doing
starting pitcher might be one of the best professional gigs in the world because you're only working once every 5 days.
That's true.
You just get a hang back. That and a professional golfer are the two best.
Yeah,
you're not getting hurt really. Maybe you take a line drive to the face. Don't do that.
So let's kind of bring this back, and you know we'll kind of put a bow on it here in a minute. So like you're saying, you know, we're 30 now, we're getting older, it's a little bit tougher.
Hate it.
What do you do now? Do you stick to the golf? Is that where it's at? I mean, do you got to watch the games you play? Like me personally, yes. I'll say I used to love playing hoops.
Yeah.
I loved hooping, but recently I don't do it anymore. It just seems like it's not worth the risk.
It's brutal, Berg. Well, yeah. We were talking, Shada, we were talking ever since I tore my ACL playing flag football 2 years ago. And before that, after college, I was playing men's baseball, softball, playing golf. I was still golfing, flag football on 3 different flag football teams. And some of these flag leagues around town here, I mean, they're serious. Like one of these,
it's
a church league
serious.
I was playing in, right?
Uh-huh.
The only rule they had was no swearing. Right?
Oh my
but you God. Could tackle someone and take someone out. Not seriously, but
it was eye gouging
and
was
some
allowed
of these guys
still.
We were playing with, like I'm playing with some of my buddies, Trav, we were talking about some of the guys we went to high school with.
Uh-huh.
We're playing with guys who are 10 years older than us. They're definitely on steroids. Like, definitely roid rage and Yeah, I tore the ACL. So since then, Berg, I've just stuck to golf and softball.
Yeah.
Bowling, I can do some. I can do the recreational sports, but I miss flag, trust me. And I would play if I could. I can still throw all day long, but yeah. It's the running. And I didn't rehab my knee properly, so that probably half the battle right there. But
yeah.
And I know Shoddy's been hiking lately, too. So that's something, too. I got some buddies that hike that I'd like. Just stay active.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do, man. It's not that hard.
Stay active. I was talking to you about this. I only stay in the gym for like an hour. Mm-hmm. Hour at the max. I'm not an athlete anymore. Yeah. I don't stay in there between 2 to 3 hours anymore. Just do what you gotta do.
Just be efficient and don't post about it, man. Don't post your workouts of the days, CrossFitting and all that. Right?
You don't need other people's, you know, justification or to tell you what's up.
There's only room to take from the night.
That's good. And yeah, there's a point too where you've been in the gym too long and there's diminishing returns. You know, like I think it's like an hour and eight minutes. Once you hit like an hour and eight, you're like you're gonna start slacking. Yep. You're giving up. You're just kind of wandering around. You're thinking it's done. You need to be efficient, like you said, get it over with and get it done.
And don't take pictures of your dinner. God, don't show me what you're going to eat either. Yeah. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be gone, all right? It's going to be a fucking turd.
I'm guilty.
No, Shadi, you're good. No,
in 18 hours, it's going to be a fucking brown turd, all right? Yeah. I know, but just do what you can, you know, make it work for you. What I've been doing lately is I've been trying to do a little bit more yoga.
Yeah.
That's kind of been the new thing.
Heard that.
And I got to say.
Have you done hot yoga? I run hot. I'm a sweater.
Yeah.
So I feel like I would probably die doing normal yoga. And then
I feel like it'd be embarrassing. You're just fountaining water off you constantly.
I sweat.
I mean, maybe other people are doing it, but it's like, dude, that's insane. It honestly, it's hard, even if you just do it and not in the hot scenario.
I've heard,
you know?
I've heard it takes some skill.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's like, it's interesting. It's like you're transported to like a different planet for that hour that you're in that room. Like they got the weird music. All that weird music. And then you're like meditating. You know? And it's cool.
Are you farting in there? I hear people farting in yoga.
I have not. It hasn't been an issue with me. I've actually been able to control myself, luckily.
Like an urban legend thing,
you know. But the crazy thing about it is like they have you do all these weird movements, like you do your things with your neck and everything, and you get all those little tiny pops, a little something here and there in your spine, all that kind of stuff. Like it's straightening. You're like, oh, okay, you know, maybe they're onto something here. So I think it's good. There was like four other guys in the class, and then it was all chicks. And last time I went, and all the guys were like in their mid-50s, you know? But it's like, hey, these guys, like you said, they're probably trying to battle, you know, Father Time. And they're trying to do whatever
they can. He always wins, man.
And it's tough for an hour, but you know what? You feel loose. You feel limber. Like I said, you're transported to like a different planet for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like you come back, you're like, whoa. And then you have a more real sense of what actually matters at that point, it seems like.
And it's
going
back to, we were talking about the diet thing earlier. Like, it sucks. I don't have a perfect diet. But I just know I don't want to. Life's kind of too short. I want to enjoy my food and enjoy life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just know I got to kind of stay active or else I'm going to be 280 pounds. You know what I mean? So it's
is it another 15 pounds? Or?
Yeah, right? Exactly. And I got a kid coming, so thanks, Bert.
Oh, well, you'll be there in no time. Don't worry, Tony.
225, man.
Dieting is not as hard as you think, man. Hey, you like
it's just the meal prep like we were talking about.
Just discipline.
I'm not wired like that.
Yeah. I don't meal prep. See, the number one diet food I have is turkey burgers or grass-fed ground beef, 93% lean, 7% fat. I can make four or five patties out of each pack. And I'll eat that for lunch and dinner.
See, my wife, she's gluten-free. She's been like that for like 8 years. So guess I've gotten used to it. And it's not that bad. At first, I was like, oh, my God.
How does gluten-free help you?
You're talking to the wrong guy. I just play the game.
It's very good for
you. You just can't get wheat in the system.
It's very good for your smugness. It helps your smugness out big time. You know,
everything's turning gluten free now.
You can act like you're better than everybody else. It's great for your self esteem. You know, boost you big time.
There's always fads.
Yeah. Well, and that's comes back to the CrossFit too. You know, we're coming back to all this stuff.
It does.
That's
just all fads. Do it. And it's fine. Do what works for you. Yes. Just
and portions too is a big part. Okay, Jillian Michaels was on Adam Carolla. Show and she was talking just portions, okay?
Yeah.
You know, even if you're gonna eat some shitty food, okay, that's fine. It's like you said, it's hard to eat healthy all the time.
You can't
really do it. There's too many options where our lives are moving so fast.
And I'm pretty good on the Monday through Friday. It's just the weekends. Everything goes to shit.
But you need to have a cheat day.
Everything goes to shit on the weekends. And I don't care who you are, right? The beer, the alcohol.
I'm having a cheat day tomorrow. I'm going to Pizza.
I'm a cheat weekender.
I'm going to Pizza tomorrow and getting me a large stuffed crust cheese pizza for my fucking cheat meal.
Yeah.
And I'm going to devour the whole fucking thing.
That's an accomplishment, yeah. Eating a whole pizza. You're like, oh my God, I am such a piece of shit after the whole thing's fucking done. But, dude, you have to have that cheat day, though, to keep yourself sane.
One last question for me. Is there anyone in the world that doesn't like pizza? I was talking about this randomly with someone the other day. Who doesn't like it? So it's like they must not like water either. Mm-hmm. Those same people.
Yeah, no shit, dude. I told you earlier when you came here that I went to Europe this past summer.
Yeah,
awesome trip, really good experience.
Yep.
One of the most hammered into me more than anything things I learned from that trip.
Don't tell me they don't like pizza over there.
Everybody likes pizza. Everybody.
It's a universal food.
All night. There's pizza places open until 6 in the morning.
Who doesn't like pizza? Show me something.
Everywhere I went.
Like
everywhere
Cam says, I went. Show me a sore loser, I'll show you a loser, man.
Everywhere I went, there's fucking
pizza.
Show me
someone who doesn't like pizza, and I'll show you a loser.
They're not American. You know what I mean?
They're not human.
It's ridiculous. But... And I've been hearing that pizza's actually not as bad. Well, I mean, you always got to check your source here. You know? Yeah, Pizza Hut says pizza's not that bad, actually.
What's your magic number on the pizza slices? Back to the magic number on the beer. I've always been 4 is like good for me. Oh, like 4 God, and I'm stuffed. Yeah. Like nowadays it's like 3, but like I could, when I was younger, oh my God, I could kill like a whole large pizza like in high school. Don't even think about it.
When the metabolism
now is still pulling Adam Sandler's line from Big Daddy, I drink a milkshake and my ass jiggles for a week.
Dude, I know it's crazy. I ate a shitty Red Baron pizza a while back. I cooked it up, ate the whole fucking thing, and I wasn't even full. Oh, I could have had more, dude. No, I felt
when you're hungry though. That when you're hungry, I felt you can like clean
such
pizza.
A fucking glutton. Well, and it's just shitty food. Like the pizza, especially, is fucking dog shit. Yeah. You know, it's a piece of cardboard with a few tomatoes on it. But I wasn't even full.
I was dying. Kevin James has that stand up sweating the small stuff, and he's talking about the last pizza piece. And he's like, when you're sitting around 3 people, everyone's just eyeing it, and everyone's like, who's gonna get it? It's a battle.
Mm, that was a good stand-up, dude.
That's one of his best ones.
Yeah, he came out.
Sweating the small stuff?
People forget that because he did all the movies and shit, but yeah.
That was before King and Queens and all that stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah. I got him started, man. That's where he did. Joe Rogan and shit. So yeah, you just got to watch those portions, man, and just try not to eat shit all the time. If you have more good meals than bad meals...
I feel like we've given people some food decent tips tonight.
Hey, we're not even trying. You know, we brought the big guns back, Tony. Are you kidding me? Come on, we were pulling out all the stops here.
We really went off tangent tonight. We went in all directions.
Hey,
tonight.
You know, it was real life. I mean, like I said, you're the guru, Tony. So we had to get the inside scoop from you. Obviously,
I got to come by with Max sometime, man. I missed the Max. When we were talking. I'm going to check the Max episode out. Max, one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life.
He is. He's a conversationalist.
And he's a smart dude too.
We'll get him back on here. We'll get the quadcast. I'll buy another mic. We'll get
him in for that.
But,
count me in for that. God damn, if you allow me back.
Oh, for sure, dude. For sure. Like I said, whenever we make this work, this has been great. I've had a good time. We went a little long, you guys. Sorry for that. Hopefully, you know, maybe you extended your workout. Maybe you went past the hour. You know, good for you guys. Way to stick to it. Everybody's got their own gig, but thank you guys for listening. New listeners, we appreciate you guys. Hopefully you liked it. Hit us up, you know, Facebook, Twitter, all those stupid ass social media things that we do. let us know if you guys got any ideas. We'd love to hear it, and we appreciate you guys. If you can tell a friend, if you liked it, that would mean big things for me and this guy, because we're trying to do it big here. So for my man Tony Gardner, made it out again, 710 ESPN Radio. Check him out, guys. He's on Twitter as well.
I need to change the hashtag. I'm Tony G underscore 710 ESPN. I got to get the underscore out of there, but that's what I've been for the work handle right now.
I know it's tough. There's a science to tell people how
the underscore people. Yeah. The older people are like, huh?
There's a science to it. It's like your original. It's like your original email name.
The
like,
Tony G's.
You still
yeah, a
use
lot of
it, but
taken,
you're like,
you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, Tony G name. Underscore 710 ESPN.
All right. Well, hey, thank you for joining us, Tony.
Anytime,
a good conversation, like always. For my boy Tony Gardner, I'm Slim.
And I'm Shoddy. Check us out next week and follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and we are out.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.